Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you today from the Danville and Vermilion County Commercial News, the weekend edition for Saturday and Sunday, July 12th and 13th, 2025. Let's take a look at starting on our front page with the headline Splash and Dash. Boat Club kicks off weekend of hot air balloons by Kayla White. There's nothing like seeing hot air balloons fill the sky. Thursday evening, the Danville Boat Club hosted their Splash and Dash event, a kickoff to the Balloons Over Vermilion fundraiser, but the wind didn't want to cooperate. As soon as they took off in their balloons, the wind currents were blowing them north, Splash and Dash Committee Chairwoman Penny Antonini said. That's the joy of balloons. There's no steering wheel and no brakes. They just go with the wind. Despite the wind making it difficult for balloon pilots to participate in the competition, trying to land drop objects on a target, Antonini said the event was a success. We had lots of people out there partying, she said, estimating there were around 400 people in attendance. There were four golf cart shuttles bringing people back and forth from parking to the club the whole time. Pilot Ed DeVore won the Splash and Dash competition with his balloon Papa's Joy. DeVore and his balloon will be participating in Balloons Over Vermilion this weekend. Usually, we have five or six pilots throwing their targets out, Penny said, but in situations where weather conditions prevent balloons from going up, they draw names out of a hat to get the first, second, and third place winners. Aside from hot air balloons and boats, there was face painting, lots of games for the kids, live entertainment by the band Shades of Grey, and even Pawpaw's ice cream truck. Food and drinks were served at a lakeside dockhouse where boats on the lake could pull up to jump off and grab a drink or something to eat, and the event helps raise funds for the Danville Boat Club, Antonini says. Continuing on our front page, a legacy of generosity. Colleagues and friends remember Melody Williams, again by reporter Kayla White. Patrons and staff at the Danville Public Library have lost more than a staff member with the unexpected death of Melody Williams on July 2nd. After more than 15 years behind the reference desk, Williams will be missed for her kindness and generosity, her commitment to her family, her passion for genealogy, and her patriotism. If she saw that you had a need and either she or her husband John could provide it, they would do that, says Leanne Stein, longtime co-worker and friend of Williams. This generosity was made evident when the Williamses took in Melody's friend and former library co-worker, Quinn Hazel Baker, in 2024. Hazel Baker stayed with the family while she dealt with some medical issues. Later, in November 2024, the Williamses lost their home and all their belongings to a fire. After that, staff from the library united to take up a collection for the family. We're overwhelmed with the generosity and response of the church and our family, of the community and strangers and my co-workers at the library, Melody told the Commercial News in the interview shortly after the fire, calling their help sacrificial donations. My co-workers dug deep in their pockets, she said. From Stein's perspective as Williams's close friend, the collection that year was a karmic return for all the love she and John had given to others. It was cool to see how it came back to them because everybody did something, Stein said. We helped boost her wardrobe by getting her some library t-shirts. Genealogy. As for her legacy, one of Williams's greatest passions was teaching genealogy workshops at the library several times a year for the past 7 years, Stein said. Woodward Smith asked Williams to help her put on the first workshop in 2013, she said, because she was interested in learning more and knew Williams had a particular interest. After the two hosted that event, Williams took on the task of teaching them on her own, as she had easy access to the archives and the reference department, Woodward Smith said. A member of Daughters of the American Revolution, Williams also helped others trace their own roots back to the founders of the nation. Williams also enjoyed dressing up for different events at the library, proudly wearing her Slytherin outfit for Potterfest, an annual event in downtown Danville that often includes elaborate displays and experiences at the library. Wife, mother, and grandmother. Outside the library, Melody was an active member of her church and a proud grandma to her two grandkids, Landon and Cadence Ulrich. Despite the fact that the children were her daughter's stepchildren, for Williams, they were instant family. Even before they got married, they were Melody's grandkids. They were hers, said Stein, adding that Williams would often bring them to the library with her when they came to visit in the summers. A native of Michigan City, Indiana, Williams married her husband John on June 16, 1973, and the two moved to Danville in 2006. In her obituary, their marriage was described as admirable for their love and dedication to each other through thick and thin. She loved her family deeply and will be missed beyond description, read her obituary. Veteran and churchgoer. Williams was also a proud veteran, having served for 6 years in the United States Air Force. She received high honors and achieved the rank of staff sergeant. They decorated the funeral in 4th of July decorations and gave her a 21-gun salute, Stein said. She was very proud to be a veteran and very patriotic. According to co-worker Jacqueline Woodward Smith, Williams and her husband were both deeply committed to serving their country. As newlyweds, she and John went to the Air Force on the same day, and they got out on the same day, Woodward said. Both the Williamses worked in radio repair during their time in the Air Force, Melody on road vehicle radios and John on radios and airplanes. Melody was a member of the Union Corner United Methodist Church. According to her obituary, she was a devoted member of the church and often served as the liturgist. Now that Williams is gone, reminders of her are all around the library, Stein said. Every time that I look through the files and I look at the labeling, I see her handwriting and I know this is Melody, she said. Our final article this morning on the front page comes from our water supplier, Aqua Illinois. Low pressure could lead to discoloration, again by Kayla White. Some residents of Danville reported yellow water running from their taps Tuesday, sparking concerns across social media. Despite calls to the city, some said the problem persisted. But according to Director of Public Works David Rue, water issues can only be handled by Aqua Illinois, not the city. Danville, like many cities, has outsourced city water sanitation to companies like Aqua to supply clean, safe, potable water to residents of the city. Aqua Illinois has a water treatment facility located at 322 North Gilbert Street, serving nearly 41,000 customers in Vermilion County. Andrew Price, Operations Director for Aqua Illinois, said Aqua is always working on various projects throughout the area. Over the next 5 years in the company's East Central Division, there is a $14.5 million in work planned, he said. As to the water discoloration, as to what could be making the water run yellow, Price assured the public that it's not a cause for safety concerns. According to him, a key cause is the lack of water pressure in less populated areas. If you look to the east end of Danville at a lot of the street names, there's not near as many homes there as what were there used to be back in the early 1900s to mid-1900s, Price said. Back then, you had the VA there, and then DAC was coming through along, and it was a very populated area. Since then, however, the population of the area has drastically decreased, and with that decrease comes a lack of water pressure moving water through the mains, as fewer houses are turning the faucets on. That's an infrastructure built to supply a lot more homes that are no longer there. So when that happens, you've got water that's not moving as fast as what it once did. It's kind of sitting in those pipes a little bit longer, and you know what happens when iron and water rust. Replacing those old iron water mains are part of the $14.5 million project to improve water infrastructure around the area, he said. As of now, the company is continuing their ongoing work on a two-phase project to replace the water main on Cleveland Street from Bowman down to Gray Streets, Price said. The city was going to redo the road anyway, so working alongside the city, we said that would be a good candidate for replacement. There has been some discolored water up and down Cleveland over the last couple of years, so we said let's replace it. Like with the Cleveland project, if enough customer calls with complaints of discolored water, Aqua will look into the issue and may decide to add the replacement of that water main to their five-year plan. Boil orders. According to Price, there are currently no open work orders for yellow water in the city. If no one calls to report an issue with their water, Price said there's no way for Aqua to know there's an issue. If we don't have a work order, obviously we can't go out there and do anything to help the situation. For those concerned about the safety of drinking discolored water, Price said it's necessary for customers of Aqua to sign up to be notified when there is a boil order. They have to give us permission to call them. We can't just reach out, so they have to give us permission by signing up for it, Price said. For new customers, the process of signing up to be notified of boil orders or issues with the water supply is easy, as they're asked if they want to receive notifications when they set up a new property in their name. But for existing customers, Price said they must either call Aqua's customer service line or else sign up online by visiting aquawater.com/watersmartalerts. To sign up for WaterSmart Alerts, customers will need their 16-digit Aqua account number, zip code, their last name or company name as it appears on their bill. Customers can choose to be notified via email, telephone call, or text message. For help finding your account number or help signing up, call Aqua Illinois at 877-987-2782. In other news, around Danville, new homes coming to Danville. Taylor Construction breaks ground on a new housing project. The City of Danville and Taylor Construction and Design LLC, a Champaign-based firm, broke ground on land in West Danville for a new project. The group will build a minimum of 2 single-family homes. They will be constructed on lots that were previously uninhabitable structures were demolished. The houses will not be low-income properties, but will sell for market rate, according to Mayor Ricky Williams, Jr. A staff report of interest, DDI passes out grants to owners. Downtown Danville, Inc. announced that 2 of the downtown district business owners received grants for building improvements. These grants are part of our ongoing initiative to support and revitalize businesses in the heart of our city. Fred and Ma, Inc. was awarded a redevelopment grant to support the launch of a new cafe bar restaurant in the heart of the city's historic district. The project is part of ongoing efforts to revitalize downtown Danville by supporting small business development and enhancing the local dining and entertainment scene. The local entrepreneurs transformed a vacant downtown space into a welcoming destination where community and culture meet over coffee, craft cocktails, and locally inspired fare. The owners are seeking a tenant experienced in hospitality and culinary arts to bring the space to life. Our goal is to offer a cozy, inclusive space where people can gather for a great meal, a conversation, or an evening out, says Ashton Greer, co-owner of Fred and Ma, Inc. We're grateful to Downtown Danville for believing in our concept and helping make it a reality. We're thrilled to support Fred and Ma, Inc. as part of our mission to invest in the future of Downtown Danville, says Kim Kuchenbrod, the executive director of Downtown Danville, Inc. This project not only brings new life to a key downtown building, but also adds energy, diversity, and charm to our local economy. Construction is currently wrapping up with plans to open doors to the public later this year. The new establishment is expected to create local jobs, attract foot traffic, and serve as a catalyst for continued downtown growth. OSCA LLC and Danville Renaissance Enterprises LLC were also awarded a total of $5,000 in grant funding to support building renovations for 2 locations at 123 North Vermilion and 310 Oak Street. The funds were used specifically for window painting and repairs to the roof parapet. These improvements build on the momentum created by Vermilion River Beer Company and Sweet Repeats, 2 established businesses that already draw consistent foot traffic to the downtown district and contribute to its growing vibrancy. The Downtown Danville, Inc. grant program is funded through contributions from every property owner in the Special Service Area No. 1 District. These grants are designed to empower local businesses by matching their investments up to $5,000 for property improvements. Well, here's some news that'll be important to those of you that are going to be out and about in Vermilion County, Indiana. NDOT announces lane closure in Cayuga. The Department of Transportation announces a single lane closure that will impact State Road 63 northbound near Cayuga, Indiana. Beginning on or around Wednesday, July 16th, crews will be doing bridge preservation work over Dry Branch. Construction is anticipated to last until mid-August, but is weather-dependent and subject to change. NDOT also announced an ongoing traffic pattern shift impacting State Road 63 near Universal in Vermilion County. Early this week, crews moved traffic from the southbound lanes to the northbound lanes. Crews have been repairing the bridges over Brillette's Creek between County Road 1780 South and Trinity Avenue since June. Construction is anticipated to last until mid-August. NDOT encourages drivers to use caution in and around all work zones. Well, let's take a peek at what's going on in our community briefs before we reach our halfway point together. The Danville Municipal Band performed its final concert on Sunday. So for those of you that love that music, we'll have to wait again until next year. SWCD meeting is scheduled for Tuesday. The regular board meeting of the Vermilion County SWCD will be held on Tuesday, July 15th at 8:30 a.m. at the USDA Service Center on Route 150 in Danville. For taps on Tuesday this week, This week's Taps on Tuesday will be held at 6 p.m. in the Spring Hill Cemetery Soldier Circle. Each attendee will be asked to mention a veteran to be honored that evening. The program will be conducted by Larry Weatherford, Tara Otter, Greg Green, and J.C. Schweitzer. Taps will be sounded by Anita Zeller. Taps on Tuesdays is presented by the Vermilion County War Museum and the Ward Hill Layman Civil War Roundtable. For information, contact Larry Weatherford at 217-474-7256. The VFW is planning a fish fry for July 18th. The VFW Post Number 2395 Auxiliary announces its third Friday fish fry will be on July 18th at the Post, located at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington, Indiana. Serving time is from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The menu includes fish, fries, baked beans, and coleslaw. The cost is $15 for the public and $12 for veterans, and all dinners are dine-in or carry-out. These monies are used to support community projects and operating costs at the Post. Wonder Junction Vacation Bible School planned. Danville First Nazarene Church will have its annual Vacation Bible School from Sunday, July 20th through Thursday, July 24th at the church at 2214 North Vermilion Street. The fun begins each evening at 5:30 and goes until 8. Children will take a journey through the Old West as they learn about who Jesus is, marvel at his birth, his childhood, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection, and his coming return. The fun includes arts and crafts, singing, recreation, snacks, and more. And to register, you can contact the church. We've reached the middle of our time together today, and we'll stop to look at the death notices that were received by Friday at 5 p.m. We have four today. Gary Langley. Gary J. Langley, 75, of Covington, Indiana, passed away on Wednesday, July 9th. His services will be Tuesday, July 15th, at Sunset's Covington Chapel at 423rd Street in Covington, Indiana, with visitation from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and these are Eastern Standard Time. Masonic services and the Celebration of Life service will follow, with Pastor Emily Miller officiating. Burial will be at the Thomas Newport Cemetery. Memorial donations in Gary's name may be made to the Cayuga Presbyterian Church or the American Liver Foundation. Carolyn J. Sadler. Carolyn Jane C.J. Sperry Sadler, age 84, died July 7th at her Autumnwood Village home in Tipton, Indiana. A celebration of her life will be held at a later date. Her daughters request that any memorials be made as donations to your favorite charity in Carolyn's honor. They would also like to thank all who cared for her at Autumnwood Village, Paradigm Health, and Heart and Soul Caring. Laura Ann Park. Laura Ann Park, 85, of Danville, passed away in her home on Wednesday, July 9th. Visitation will be at First Baptist Church at 1211 North Vermilion Street in Danville on Friday, July 18th from 10 to noon. A service will follow, with Pastor Paul Rebert officiating. And following services, Laura will be laid to rest in Gundy Cemetery in Bismarck. Memorials may be made in Laura's name to the First Baptist Church at 1211 North Vermilion Street in Danville. In our final death notice today, it's noted that Marilyn Elizabeth Gasper Vance of Danville passed away, but there will be no services. That concludes the reading of our death notices for today. Let's return our attention to other things that are happening in our community. Fisher to honor Hackman's legacy. The Fisher Theater is proud to present Fisher Fest, the cinematic legacy of Gene Hackman, a two-day film festival honoring the career of Oscar-winning actor and Danville native Gene Hackman. This event will take place August 16th and 17th at the Fisher Theater, blocks from where Hackman spent his formative years. Audiences will enjoy five of Hackman's most iconic films over the weekend, spanning decades and genres. The lineup includes, on Saturday, August 16th, the films to be shown will be Bonnie and Clyde, The French Connection, and Unforgiven. Then on Saturday, August 17th, it will be Crimson Tide and the Royal Tenenbaums. In addition to screenings on Sunday, the festival will host a special dessert and discussion event, offering an opportunity to explore Hackman's enduring influence on film and his connection to the Danville community. local film critic Chuck Kaplinski will lead the discussion. Before each film, Kaplinski and Pam Powell will share the film's behind-the-scenes facts and interesting anecdotes. Chuck and Pam are known for their work on the show Real Talk with Chuck and Pam, where they review movies and streaming series. They are based in Chicago and Central Illinois. Cost will be $10 for one movie. A pass for Saturday's three movies is $25, while a pass for Sunday's two movies along with a dessert and discussion is $25. Nora's Smokehouse, a popular local food truck, will be on site both days, offering delicious eats to complement the weekend's entertainment. Local artist Katie Weston will create a live date-stamped portrait of Gene Hackman at the event, and a date-stamped portrait of the Fisher Theater by Katie will be available for silent auction in the lobby for the event. "We're thrilled to celebrate Gene Hackman's legendary career in his hometown," said Fisher Interim Director Ashton Greer. "This festival is more than a film event. It's a tribute to a man who helped put Danville on the cinematic map, and we hope this is the first of many events like this one." For more information and to purchase tickets, go to www.fishertheater.com. In more news from the Fisher Theater launches donation campaign. The historic Fisher Theater is excited to launch a $30,000 matching donation campaign, an opportunity for the community to double their impact and directly support the ongoing preservation and enhancement of one of Danville's most treasured landmarks. Thanks to the generosity of three area families, each pledging $5,000, up to $15,000 in community donations will be matched dollar for dollar, unlocking a total of $30,000 in support of key projects in the theater. The campaign is not just about preserving the building. It's about honoring the people and stories that have shaped the Fisher, said Ashton Greer, interim director of the Fisher Theater. These funds will directly impact how we serve the public and celebrate the legacy of those who've made the theater what it is today. The $30,000 raised will be allocated to three impactful projects, and donors will get to select which project they want to contribute towards when they make a pledge. $10,000 for restoring the original gift shop, $10,000 for upgrading the concession area to be named the Terry Lake Cafe, or $10,000 supporting general operating costs. These essential funds will help sustain day-to-day operations, ensure the theater can continue to offer high-quality programming, and maintain its historic facility and remain a cultural hub in downtown Danville. Donations can be made at fishertheater.com or by calling the director at 217-474-2978. To discuss giving options. Every dollar donated during the campaign period will be matched until the $15,000 goal is reached. The Fisher Theater relies on the passion and generosity of its supporters. The campaign is an opportunity to preserve its legacy while looking toward the future. Restoring the original gift shop. Located just off the theater lobby, this space will be revitalized and made available to a retail tenant, blending its original character with updated modern functionality. This $10,000 investment will be combined with the recently awarded $10,237.50 in TIF grants from the City of Danville, supporting a full restoration of the space. Planned improvements include new flooring, restoration of original built-in features, resurfaced and repainted walls, and upgraded lighting fixtures, all aimed at preserving the integrity of the past while preparing the space for a vibrant new chapter. Upgrading the concession area. In honor of longtime volunteer Terry Lake, who generously contributed over 5,000 volunteer hours in just 4 years, representing an estimated $174,000 in service, this $10,000 investment will help transform the current concession space into the Terry Lake Cafe. This upgrade not only enhances the guest experience, but also serves as a lasting tribute to Terry's extraordinary dedication. The funds will be combined with additional donations already received in his memory to support the cafe's 2025 development plans, which include display monitors, fountain soda machines, and related infrastructure, an ice machine, a deep freezer, and commercial-grade equipment to expand savory offerings for patrons. And then supporting general operating costs, these essential funds will help sustain day-to-day operations, ensuring the theater can continue to offer high-quality programming, maintain its historic facility, and remain a cultural hub in downtown Danville. Again, donations can be made online at fishertheater.com or by calling the director to discuss giving options, and you can reach the director at 217-474-2978. Take a look at our features page today, and we'll join up with local columnist Laura Conklin. Her headline, "Returning for Second Half of Summer." It may be cliche to say I can't believe July is half over already, but I spent the first 6 weeks of summer recovering from a broken ankle, so the first half of summer has literally passed me by. For the first time in 25 years, yep, my work anniversary was July 5th, I missed commencement. Among the 200-plus graduates to walk the stage were 8 All-Stars with whom I worked closely throughout the year. I also missed the main board of trustees meeting where the entire All-Stars group were introduced to the trustees. I didn't get to tell them how very proud they've made me this year. Sad. I missed our annual car show during the Memorial Day weekend. That's been a highlight of the summer kickoff for 17 years. I heard we had a great turnout again this year. 2 co-workers retired in my absence. Good luck to Professor Ricky Williams Sr. and Chief Information Officer Carl Lewis. I'll miss working with you both, but feel certain you'll have a long and rewarding retirement. Sorry I missed the parties. Thankfully, I was able to attend the June Board of Trustees meeting where DAC's 8th president was confirmed and a director was hired for our newest program, Speech-Language Pathology Assistant. Welcome home to my old friend and new supervisor, Dr. Randy Fletcher, and welcome aboard to my new friend, SLPA Program Director Burgundy Nickerson. I'm confident you'll both do great things here as you write your stories at DAC. Now that I'm back but not completely mobile, I'm looking forward to the remainder of summer. I'm proud to report that total summer enrollment is up nearly 8%, with full-time students taking over 19% more credit hours than last summer. Looking forward, DAC's recruitment office will host its 3rd annual back-to-school block party on Wednesday, August 6th. The rain date is August 7th. This community event features many free activities for children, food trucks, and an opportunity to get to know DAC in a relaxed atmosphere. Bring the kids to our front parking lot from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and enjoy. Regular fall classes will begin on Monday, August 18th. Our academic advisors are eagerly awaiting your call to get you set up for academic success. This is your annual reminder that DAC is a comprehensive community college offering both general education courses that satisfy the first 2 years of a bachelor's degree, basically the freshman and sophomore year of traditional college, and then transfer to a university, as well as the career and technical courses that lead to a 2-year degree and more immediate placement in the workforce. Our students range from 16-year-old dual credit high school students to adults in their senior years. We offer credit-bearing classes that count toward degrees and certificates, as well as community-centered lifelong learning courses and trips intended for fun and enlightenment. DAC is your community college, and we hope to see you there in the months to come. You're always welcome. And again, that was written by DAC employee and local columnist Laura Conklin. Let's take a little bit of time to look at sports. Most of our things that are going on locally are have to do with baseball. So in our local roundup, speakers go 1-1 in tourney. From Crawfordsville, Indiana, the Danville Post 210 baseball team started strong in its second day at the Crawfordsville tournament. The speakers defeated the South Avon Post 502 Blaze 12-5 in the first game of the day. Cole Miller had 2 hits with a home run and 5 RBIs for Post 210, while Charles Cambridge had 2 hits and 2 RBIs. Caden Klemimek had 2 RBIs. Easton Barney and Jordan Johnson each had 1 RBI, and Chaz Dubois had 2 hits. Chase Harrington had 5 strikeouts and 6 innings to get the win. But the speakers would lose the second game of the day, 15-6 to the Madison Post 9-9ers. Post 210 had a 4-2 lead after the second inning, but Madison scored 11 runs in the third to finish the game in the fourth. In the Prospect League, just some scores that Terre Haute 2, Danville 0. Says with a lack of offense and some bad defensive plays, the Danville Dans once again fell on the road Thursday. The Dans had 4 hits and 2 errors as they lost to the Terre Haute Rex 2-0 at Bob Warren Field. And let's see, in college basketball, Illinois tickets still on sale. Season tickets for the 2025-26 University of Illinois men's basketball team are still available, but very limited. After tickets were available to iFund, Loyalty Circle, and Hall of Fame members on Wednesday and those on waitlist Thursday, the limited tickets were available to the public beginning on Friday. So if you haven't gotten your season tickets for men's basketball for you Illini fans, you're running out of time. And speaking of running out of time, that's where we are. Let's take a peek at our weather. This week, it looks like Monday and Tuesday will be our dry days with highs in the upper 80s. On Wednesday and Thursday, we can expect showers on Wednesday, cloudy and humid with thunderstorms on Thursday. Friday, we're back to an AM shower and a mostly cloudy day. This has been Terry Burdick reading to you from the Commercial News, the weekend edition for Friday and Saturday, and we look forward to reading with you again soon. Have a great week.